Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And the 55th Super Bowl is this weekend. A game this big deserves a big prize, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy sports partner of Super Bowl 55, has up to $55 million in total prizes up for grabs with their Super Bowl prediction pool. How's that for big? All you have to do to get your share of these huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you will get a free instant prize up to $25,000, and if you have the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize of $1 million. So download the DraftKings app, use code KSN to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. That's code KSN only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, we're going to start with news and notes in quarter number one. And for those of us who are doing a show about college football, the transfer portal is the gift that just keeps on giving, isn't it?
I mean, if you want to call it a gift, I guess it depends on which end of it you're on, like if you're a fan base. But for Penn State, I mean, for us, you know, it's been news item after news item after news item really since the season ended.
It really has. And we had a big one the other day. Unfortunately, our show with Bob and Andy and Ross, we recorded prior to the big Will Levis transfer, so we didn't get to talk about it. I'm sure we will this week. But I'll start with you with the Levis transfer. Did it come as a surprise to you?
To a certain extent. I mean, it's earlier than I would have expected Will Levis to make this kind of decision. But at the same time, you think about the position that Tommy Stevens was in, let's just say just a couple years ago, and where his decision ended up coming too late because he hung in there and hung in there and hung in there. It's a really difficult thing if you're the number two quarterback and it doesn't look like there's a very clear path in the next year or two for you, and you kind of feel like time's running out. So I don't really blame Will Levis for doing it. He's got a lot of eligibility left. I think he's got 3 years of eligibility left. He's got a chance to go and not necessarily need a situation where he's going to start right away, but a situation that he likes, that he feels like maybe next year he can jump into the starting role, where that wasn't much of a given at Penn State. Maybe it was just time for him to try a change of scenery. Certainly physically very talented kid, and Penn State never really used that. The question is, you know, was he not really unable to unlock that potential while he was on the field? Or did Penn State kind of handcuff him to the role that he was in and not allow him a situation where he could grow a little bit? Maybe it's somewhere in the middle there. But I think Will Levis could probably use a fresh start. Doesn't really put Penn State in a very good spot, though, in terms of scholarship quarterbacks.
Well, we'll get to that part in a second. But continuing with Levis, first of all, this is amazing. He's going to be a grad transfer, and he's going to have 3 years of eligibility remaining, combining a redshirt season along with this past season where everyone gets the mulligan and the do-over. So he still has plenty of time. But you mentioned, Dustin, the timing. What happened here? I mean, was there a conversation between Will Levis and the offensive coordinator that you think prompted this decision? I would have thought what we might see is at least a spring practice with the new coordinator where Will would get an opportunity to see if he would have a chance to compete.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe there was a situation where Levis wanted a little bit more clarity on if or when he becomes the guy. And whether that was with Mike Yurcich or that was with James Franklin, or Will Levis was just trying to kind of strike while the iron was hot and get out there and find his next spot sooner than later. Boy, I don't know. I don't know what the conversation is like. But clearly, you know, I don't think his little audition for the starting job midway through last year was much of an audition at all. So I don't really know that Penn State's position on him has changed, even with the new offensive coordinator. It still seems like it's Sean Clifford's job to lose. It's not Will Levis's job to win. Clifford's got to play his way out of that job. And I feel like that's one of the lessons that 2020 taught us, is that, you know, maybe Will Levis had an opportunity there, but it was really just, I think they were just keeping the seat warm for Sean Clifford. And maybe that was just the vibe for Will Levis, and he felt like he needed to find someplace else where, you know, he gets a fresh start. He gets a fresh look from a coaching staff instead of one that maybe has pigeonholed him into the role that he was currently in.
And if you take this from his standpoint, forget the Penn State situation, but just the Will Levis situation, Sean Clifford played poorly for several games before he was pulled. Yeah, Will Levis got an opportunity in one game, maybe a little over a half of football, to show what he could do as a starter. If you're looking at it from that perspective, you might want to say he didn't get a fair shake.
I think that's legitimate. And then, you know, a lot of the times, you know, how many quarterbacks can you point to that have not been very successful in their first 3, 4, 5, 6 starts, whatever the number is, that need some time to kind of acclimate to the speed of the game and making reads in real time and all the different complicating factors involved? Will Levis never really got that opportunity. And you can say, you know, he struggled passing the ball, but did he really get an opportunity to show what he could do? I would definitely say not. You know, I think more times than not, like, he ended his Penn State career with more rushing attempts than passing attempts. And I think that's a pretty telling number in its own right. So I think, you know, maybe just looking for an opportunity to be an actual passer, not a gimmick, not a runner, not a quarterback draw guy, not a lion, but an actual passer. Like, he's got the goods to do it. I don't think we can sit here today and say one way or the other he definitively can make it as a quarterback or he definitively cannot. I just don't think that Penn State was the place where he was finding that out for sure.
Last question for you on Will Levis. I was texting with our buddies, Andrew P. Shea and Bob Flounders, and trust me, this discussion will happen on our show later in the week, this debate, but I want to ask you. They had a very strong difference of opinion on Will Levis and his level as a quarterback. Let me ask you this. What do you think? Is he an FBS starting quarterback for a couple years, or is he a guy who's going to end up at Old Dominion or a level down?
I think there's going to be an FBS school that wants Will Levis and that will give him that chance. Now, physically, arm strength, you know, his release, his build, his athleticism, his ability to run, you know, all the ingredients are there. You just don't know that special sauce of a quarterback, of whether he can be instinctive and whether he can make the right reads, whether he can identify what other defenses are doing, you know, all that stuff in real time. We don't yet know from Will Levis. So physically, of course, he makes the grade. And I think somebody, you know, I don't think we're looking at him going to, you know, LSU or anything like that. I think we're going to see him go maybe down a bit. Not the Big Ten level, but still on the FBS level, and get a shot someplace else. And then it just kind of all comes down to whether he is a quarterback, a true quarterback with the intangibles, or he's not. Like I said, nobody can really say that for sure. I don't think Penn State's coaching staff can say that for sure right now. Is he able to play as fast and as athletically as he is physically? You know, and that's the big variable, and it's tough to say. I think he's going to get an FBS shot because all that he's put together kind of screams that to me.
All right, we are going to then later in the show, we're going to take a whole segment. We're going to talk about what's left in Penn State's quarterback room and where they go from here. There's still a couple more items on our news list here. One of them is, and it got overshadowed with the Will Levis transfer, is linebacker Lance Dixon entered the transfer portal. It was rumored for a couple days. What are your thoughts on Lance Dixon leaving?
Boy, I mean, this is another one that's kind of tough. I mean, we've talked before about the, you know, the baggage that comes with being a five-star sometimes. And what's happened, what was happening with Lance Dixon was he was going to spend yet another year as a reserve, at least one more year as a reserve before he potentially got his shot. And maybe that just wasn't appealing to him. Maybe he just, he thought he was better than that or more than that, but he wasn't jumping Jesse Luketa, Ellis Brooks, or Brandon Smith in that pecking order. He was going to remain maybe that top option off the bench. And if he wasn't satisfied with that or content with that, or didn't see an avenue that, that he liked, I guess I get it. You know, this is one of those times where sometimes the availability of the transfer portal and being able to jump from school to school, you know, in this case without penalty, it leads to maybe a quick trigger for some of these guys. I thought Lance Dixon very much still had a shot, you know, to be a 2-3 year starter at Penn State. And he's going to kind of go start someplace else. It could work out for him. He could be starting kind of from the same spot the next place he goes. It could end up being a lateral move, but really a talented kid. I still think he's got a shot just physically, athletically. But in this case, just my personal opinion, I'm not in his shoes. I don't know what all's going on in his head, but just from a football and depth chart perspective, I thought Lance Dixon would have been just fine if he would have kind of rode it out at Penn State.
It leads, though, Dustin, to the question, as Penn State fans, we looking at this kid, I believe one service had him a high 4-star, another one had him as a 5-star, and we think back to when he first came on the campus thinking, oh, right, here's this really star-type player. But did his performance on the field really warrant that kind of reputation? If he didn't have that, those stars attached to him, would we be as concerned about him leaving now?
Well, I just think his star power on the recruiting trail was all built on potential. It was all built on athleticism, the way he moved, the way he ran, all that stuff. And that obviously had a chance to pay off for him at Penn State. It has a chance to pay off for him still in his future here. But it's always a little dangerous whenever it's all based on potential. All those lofty rankings are based on potential and not necessarily what you did on the football field. He didn't arrive at Penn State as anywhere near a finished product as a football player. And so the reality was he was going to need 1, 2, 3 years to kind of get his legs under him and to be able to excel at that position, because you can't really play fast unless you can think fast. And that was still something I feel like was a work in progress for him. It's going to remain a work in progress, but hopefully he goes out there, he finds a place, he finds a new home, is able to unlock that athleticism.
We hope so for him, and I hope he does a better job of tackling wherever he ends up. I think that's going to be the lasting impression for Penn State fans, is those missed tackles that really stick out. That is it for quarter number one. In quarter number two, we're going to do an overview of this wonderful transfer portal. Stick around.
The 55th Super Bowl is this weekend, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy sports partner of Super Bowl 55, has up to $55 million in total prizes up for grabs. Download the DraftKings app and use code KSN to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl Prediction Challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. That's code KSN only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.